FNR, Football Nation Radio. Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome everyone, we're streaming football 24-7. It is a radio revolution. FNR, Football Nation Radio, Australia's first and only 24-hour radio station dedicated to football. I'm Carlos Alberto Diego and this is Culture Cafe, the only breakfast show dedicated to football across Australia. We, of course, are your voice of football in this country. So join in the conversation anytime today. And for those callers and SMSs out there who are ready to join the conversation, today on our show, we are giving away to our best caller or SMS a traditional premium packed panettone from our great friends at Ital. Just give us a call on our talkback line at 9944999. That's 9944999. And of course, 03 in front of that if you're outside Victoria, plus 613 if you're overseas, or SMS us on 0428 933 345 0428 933 345. Beautiful panettones there by Ital. We're giving them away to our best callers today on all our live shows, and also leading into the Christmas break, giving them away every day. So join in the conversation anytime you want to have your say. Coming up in this hour in the cafe, we have Warren Diego's EPL review. Of course, big weekend of EPL games there in England. A bit of Taffer time with Louise Taffer, with her review of the W League on the weekend. We're starting up a new segment called Club Corner, going to all clubs around Australia. It doesn't matter who you are, whether it's a junior club or senior club, at any level. And we talk to people about that club and what makes it so special in the community. And today we have the president of East Q Football Club, Vange Syrianos, joining us to talk about the East Q Football Club in Melbourne. And, of course, much, much more. So let's get into it.
Winners and losers.
Well, as we do every Monday, we go to the winners and losers first thing in our first segment. Round 9 of the Hyundai A-League kicked off in Adelaide on Friday, and it was a game between Adelaide United and Sydney FC. It was a replay of the FFA Cup final, but unfortunately for United, it was the same result.
Shooting lane was quickly closed down by the Reds, who are working very hard to keep the champions at bay. It's a loose touch by Elsie, though. Brillante. Wiltshire's run in behind. Really good by Wiltshire. Bobo! There's the opening strike. And it's the Brazilian with his sixth goal of the season. And the ghost of the cup final comes back to haunt the Reds.
There's a goal from Bobo with thanks to Fox Sports. 1-0 victory by Sydney FC away from home. Adelaide United had their chances, but Sydney are so dominant at the moment, doing very, very well there. And Bobo scoring the 45th minute in that game. It was enough to win the game for Sydney FC, the visitors. In the presser after the game, United coach Marco Kurz talked about how frustrated his charges were at the result.
The team is frustrated. It's normal after a good game, a very good game, but maybe we must think we come from a new start, and I think we make it good, and it's always a process. The result, it's not the boys are not happy, and the coach also, but I was very happy with my squad, and I must say congratulations to this team, to this, that's the first game in 11 days, and we play in every game very good, and I see us on a good way, but it's Sydney, and Sydney has the quality about one chance to score a goal.
That's Marco Kurz, the coach of Adelaide United. Happy, but frustrated at the same time. For Sydney FC coach Graham Arnold, he spoke of how he had the secret to success, but he wasn't going to tell anyone about it.
We do a lot of work, Val, with the subconscious mind and with the brain mentality to make sure that their brains are clear and to make sure that they're fresh and ready. And we make sure that we get the key messages through to them. In recruitment, we recruit winners. We recruit good people and we recruit players that want to play for the team, not for themselves, and players that are proven winners. And that's what we look at when we recruit. It's a long process, but it's one that I know with myself I can teach the boys how to win.
That's Graham Arnold prefers players with a clear head, and he works on that, and they're winners. And that's how he has had such a successful run with this Sydney FC side. On Saturday night, or on Saturday afternoon, rather, in Western Sydney, it was the Wanderers against the Roar, and it was the visitors from Brisbane who claimed the points comfortably in the end.
It's Macaroni after linking up with D'Agostino. Boatiak, chance, Macaroni, super finish. First goal in five games for the Italian. Here's Macaroni, has the game's only goal at the moment. And it could open up for Roar here. Franic, ball was slightly behind it, trying to curl it. Oh, what an introduction. First touch off the bench. Special, special goal for Brisbane Roar and for Ivan Franic. And potentially a three-point clincher.
There's Simon Hill from Fox Sports. Of course, 2-0 victors there. Brisbane Roar away from home against the really lame Western Sydney Wanderers. I know Mark Bosnich on Fox Sports had a lot of very, very harsh words. I think he described it as crap and pathetic. And I think there's a lot of Western Sydney Wanderers fans who'd be feeling the same way. Macaroni scored in the 45th and Franic scored in the 66th. Both goals, quality goals. It was great to see Ivan Franic back in the league playing so well. In the post-game press conference, Wanderers coach Josip Gombau said his team's loss, strangely, was all part of the process.
It's a process. This is not, it's not something that I want to tell you in 1 week we will do, or in 3 weeks we will do. We are trying to play from the back. We are trying to make different movements in attacking. There are a lot of things that the players need to think and need to develop to play the way that we want to play. And I am happy with them. They are trying everything. They are working hard. They are doing everything in a good way. And today I can say anything to any player. I think that all the players work very well. The results are not coming. It's just 3 weeks, three games. If someone thinks that in three games we can change this, the way that to play is maybe don't understand how difficult it is to work and how difficult it is to change things in football. It's a process. When other coaches are alive in a club and want to play this way of football, sometimes took very long. And it's a process. I am for sure that we can do a very good job and we can play a very good football. But this is something that don't require a line time. It's something that we need to invest, and when you make a mistake, you need to arrange this mistake and grow, put a good base slowly.
And that was Wanderers coach Josip Gombau. For the Western Sydney Wanderers fans out there, just be patient. It is a process, according to Josip. Let's hope it doesn't take too long for you guys. The Brisbane Roar coach, John Aloisi, said his team was like a family, and in the end, that's what got him over the line.
They show that we're a family, and we're going to stick together. You know, it's easy to be up and about when you're winning. It's hard when you're not winning and when things aren't going your way. And, you know, it seems that every time that a head was getting above water, someone's pushing it back down. And but the boys didn't show that at all today. They just really worked and deserved 3 points.
That's Johnny Aloisi there with thanks to Fox Sports and the after-game press conference. Very, very happy with his team, giving him a bit of a family hug there because of the great 2-0 away win against the Wanderers. In the Saturday night fever game, on Saturday night, it was the Jets versus Melbourne City. In a game of two halves, the Melburnians came out on top.
Clever movement by Hoffman. And that could find the boots. Andrew the boots makes the most of the opportunity. And he's got five in five.
Stop it, stay up.
Mort to Fitzgerald. Bending one around. Keeper taken out of it. Penalty. McCormack was bowled over by Nigel Bogart. The referee doesn't need the VAR. Ross McCormack, the set-piece specialist, does not muck around. Smashes it down the middle. And it's back to 1-1. Mort brings it down. Gets it to Fitzgerald, and here comes Jamieson.
That run rewarded. And around the corner goes Jamison, teeing up Nick Fitzgerald, who tried to place it. It was going wide. Now it's a chance. Matty Muscat. He loves playing the Newcastle Jets at this venue at that end.
With thanks to Fox Sports, they were the goals between Melbourne City and Newcastle Jets. A great away win there from Bob Melbourne City. A score is there, and McCormack in the 41st minute penalty, and also Matty Muscat cracking goal in the 86th, getting the winner. And of course, the goal from Newcastle Jets was from Andrew Naboo in the 32nd minute. In the presser after the game, coach of Jets Ernie Merrick thought his team had played well, but just lacked that little bit of experience.
We have lost a lot of players, but I was pretty impressed the way we set out to win that game from beginning to the end, and right to the end we're pushing numbers forward, and with a wee bit of luck someone might have got a tap in at the end. So a good performance overall, but just we lacked experience tonight, and Melbourne City had the experience when it counted.
That's Ernie Merrick, very honest about his team on the night in their loss against Melbourne City 2-1. Of course, as for City, in the after-match press conference, Warren Joyce never really says much, but he was just happy with his team's attitude on this occasion.
I think the attitude's been first class all the way through the season. I could never complain on that. Even the games that we've lost, you know, like last week, we're driving the game with 10 men. Should have got something out of the game. The game before, you know, three horrendous mistakes, but we still should have got something out of the game at Brisbane. The Sydney game, it's a miss-hit shot into the ground, it goes in. The West Sydney game, we could have won by a country mile, so it's just being consistent with how you view the games. Obviously, goals change games, and wins and losses can change people how they view it, but we didn't play brilliant the first four games and got four wins. You know, but the spirit was certainly there. You're trying to build on that. We've made some mistakes in games and they've cost goals, but the performances have actually got steadily better.
That's Warren Joyce, a happy coach of Melbourne City. Bit of upheaval at that club at the moment, but they seemed to get the win at the right time. On Sunday afternoon, across the ditch, it was desperate Wellington Phoenix hosting a desperate Melbourne Victory in what I'm calling the desperation derby. And in the comeback of the season so far, Victory's desperation got them over the line.
Here's Krishna. Negro keeping up. In from Galloway. In and away. It's gone. Season for him. Another header by Kalajdzic, and it's another goal for him. Just as I was saying, he got to six. He draws level with O'Donovan. Seven goals this season for Kalajdzic. The Phoenix two ahead now. Made his all-white debut on this very ground earlier this year. Berisha, Barbarousis, Costa Barbarousis. Good save, Italiano. The follow-up from Berisha. Melbourne are back in it, and this one will not be chalked off. George delivers. Berisha's there, and it's dribbled across for two. Not sure who got the final touch. Berisha certainly headed it goalwards.
A ricochet, and he's caught off his line. And it's going to be an own goal to Goran Paratski.
Into the final 5 minutes. Valeri. Berisha. Slides one into the path of Troisi. Troisi slides it into the back of the net. And Melbourne Victory, who were 2-0 down, are 3-2 in front. James Troisi.
With thanks to Fox Sports, that was the goals between Wellington Phoenix and Melbourne Victory. 3-2 winners away from home after being 2-0 down in the game. Kalajdzic scoring two goals there for Wellington Phoenix. Two cracking goals, by the way. And Berisha, as always, got the team back into the game in the 54th minute. An own goal then in the 57th. And James Troisi, what a polished finish that was in the 86th minute to get the winner. And if that doesn't kick off their season, or turbo boost their season now, Victory, nothing will, because it's a terrific away win against a decent Wellington Phoenix, and they haven't been so consistent this year so far, Melbourne Victory, and it's one thing that they're trying to get, because we know the quality that's in that team. In the presser after the game, Phoenix coach Dario Kalecic said that giving up a two-goal lead, however dangerous that lead is, was just not acceptable.
Second half in the before the second half in the changing room, I told the players that the most important minutes are the first 10-15 minutes in the second half. So it's important to win the duels, to don't receive the goals, and don't give a chance away. In the first, I guess, 8 minutes or 10 minutes, we received two goals. So, and this is something really what we have to talk with each other. What's going on? Because this is not acceptable, of course, to get the goals early in the beginning of the second half.
Don't you hate it when you give your team instructions at halftime not to concede goals in the first 10 minutes and then you cop two? There's a lot of talking to be done there at Wellington Phoenix and Dario Kaletsic. They're playing some of the best football I've seen a Phoenix side play, but they're just not getting the results at the moment and they'll have to sort that out. Of course, for Victory coach Kevin Muscat, he said at halftime his boys had a decision to make and thank God they made the right one.
Look, it's one of those where, you know, we went in and it, apart from the actual two goals, you know, it was difficult to, you know, be critical of the group. So, you know, right at that point there, the playing group had a decision to make, you know, whether we maintain our belief and go on and, you know, try and get something out of the game. And I thought they answered that question, you know, unbelievably well, because... You know, I think, you know, you can't take their two goals away, but, you know, if we would have won, you know, 5 or 6-2, I don't think there would have been any complaints. We had some really good chances, some really good openings.
That's Kevin Muscat, victorious coach of Melbourne Victory away from home. Terrific win, come from behind win after being 2-0 down. Of course, on Sunday night, the last game of the round, the Mariners hosted the Kentucky Trippers Perth Glory in a game where both teams were desperate to go back-to-back, that is back-to-back wins, and it was the Central Coast and its brass band who came out to play best.
Malia drifting inside, left it behind for De Silva. Still he goes, Danny De Silva. How good's that? Blake Power pretty tidy too. Hall through the middle. De Silva taking them all on. And Blake Power! What a moment! Welcome back to the A-League! And on target, and boy did he make up the ground. It's brilliant play.
Yes, that was Powell scoring in the 78th minute after an amazing run by Danny De Silva. This kid is special. If you get a chance to watch the goal, with thanks to Fox Sports, get on the website, foxsports.com, to see that goal. That was a magnificent goal by Danny De Silva. It makes me a bit excited going to a World Cup year that this guy could be a little bit of a bolter, doing wonderfully well. That Central Coast Mariners 1-0 victors over Perth Glory. That's our winners and losers for the weekend. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll catch up with East Q Football Club President Vange Syrianos here on Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego.
FNR, Football Nation Radio. Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Streaming football 24/7 live across Australia. This is FNR Football Nation Radio. I'm Carlos Alberto Diego, and this is Calcio Cafe, Australia's only breakfast show dedicated to football. Of course, today on our show, we are giving away to our best caller and SMSer a traditional premium packed Panettone from our great friends there at Ital. All you have to do is give us a call on our talkback line, 9944 9999. That's 9944 9999. 03 in front of that if you're outside Victoria, and +613 if you're overseas. SMS us on 0428 9 33 345, 0428 9 33 345, and join the conversation anytime and get rewarded for it at the same time. Of course, coming up very, very soon, we have Warren Diego just reviewing the EPL games on the weekend. Of course, Louise Taffer, you know, Taffer time, talking about the W League and the results on the weekend. But we're starting a new segment every morning now. It's what's called Club Corner. And our first club, where we want to take a little bit of time talking to club presidents out there, whether it's junior clubs, local clubs, whether it's elite clubs in the NPL, just finding out what they do at the club and how they're adding value to the community. Our first club this morning is president of the East Q Football Club, Vange Syrianos, joining us. Good morning, Vange.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really well, mate. Thanks for joining us so early. And I know you're very excited about the East Q Football Club. Tell us about the club. What league does it play in? And you know, how many kids, how many parents you've got involved?
Yep, no problem. So, we've got two streams. We've got a senior team and a junior team. With the juniors, we've got over about 250 players fielding about 18 teams. We play as part of the Football Federation in the Metro League, so we field teams from the under sevens all the way through up to the under 18s. We play out of North Baldwin and at East Kew. The junior part of the team's been going on for about 10 years and it's had some great success, starting off with one team in 2009 and fielding up to 18 teams there now in 2017. We've also got a senior team that's been around for 30-odd years and we're looking to field a new team in the State League next season, so to give our juniors a pathway through from the junior rank up into the senior teams. We've gone from strength to strength each year. We've had some growth, just mainly through the great coaching and the great camaraderie and team efforts of the teams.
Fantastic, Vange. And if you were to describe the strength of your club and the values the club lives by, what would you say?
It's all teams coming together, having a go. We're an inclusive club. We don't do any trials. We don't knock back players, if that makes sense. So everyone who gets to come to the club, we find a team for them. We're an all-inclusive club and a community-based club. So we try to field teams based on their strengths and not chasing the glory of a pennant or needing to field a team that's the strongest in the league or anything like that. So it's really all about in being inclusive, being community-minded and being team-first. So we look to play the game and develop the players to play football, and then worry about the results later.
So when you're setting up a club like yours, a community club like yours, what's the most important ingredient? What's the first thing that you would do to make sure that that you're on the right track as far as, you know, looking after the kids and the players that are part of the club and also, you know, uphold the values you're talking about?
So it's finding the right coaches and getting the parental involvement and the coaching involvement that have the same ethos and the same philosophy. So we spend a lot of time speaking with future coaches and developing our own coaches around that same ethos and same vibe. So the coaches that have come to the club know that they're coming to a club where it's all about developing players and developing kids to play the football a certain way and not so much about chasing the results. So we look to create a team that's well balanced, that creates friendship groups, and also that plays football in the right spirit, in the right manner. And I'll tell you what, we've delivered some great results. You know, we've been able to just by fielding teams with kids that come to the club, we've been able to match it with some of the bigger clubs who select their own players and go out and chase coaches to come to their own clubs. So I suppose we make do with what we've got and strive for success that way.
So what do you reckon inspires kids these days with their football? People talk about the fact that kids don't spend a lot of time in their spare time playing football because they've got, you know, they've got all these other distractions at the moment. What do you think inspires kids to maybe do a little bit of football homework at home and try and get better on a daily basis?
I think it's the fact if they're able to play in an environment where they can excel and they can express themselves in their own way and be amongst a friendly group and an encouraging group, I think it goes a long way to developing the player and having the kids come back at each season after that. So the only rule that I have that I say to the parents is that I just want to make sure that each of our players want to be here and you're not forcing them to come. So, which has been fantastic. So a couple of years ago, we won an award from the FFE for having the most returning players coming back to your club, so re-sign-ups year on year. So I think that goes a long way to the environment and the spirit that we try and create, where we want kids to keep on coming back because they're enjoying the game. So we always tell the kids, enjoy your football, play it in the right manner, listen to your coaches and play well with your teammates.
Now, Veg, you're obviously very passionate about what you're doing there, and I'm sure the committee, any committee of these junior clubs, are very passionate what they do, and they want to get the club, set up to go forward. Like you said, you're an ambitious club, want to play as high as you can in the senior competition, so you have that pathway. What's your vision for the club in the next 10 years?
The next 6 years, the club goes from strength to strength into its junior ranks. We start introducing some women's teams and getting our girl program up and running, because that's very, very important from participation level for more kids. The fact that we're able to have our junior pathway program for our senior team, the fact that the senior team is able to compete starting off in State League 5 and trying to move its way up the ranks. And the club probably being able to remain itself, to remain sustainable in the long term with boys teams, girls teams, women seniors and men seniors.
Now, Vange, if people want to join your club, be part of the club in 2018, what do they need to do?
All they need to do is just visit our website, which is www.eastqjfc.com.au. There's a contact entry form there. Fill it in that form, and it'll go to one of the committee members, and we'll be back. We'll be back to them very, very shortly with all the details. So we'll kick off our pre-season for the juniors when school resumes again in February, and then we're getting ready for the season, which kicks off in late March, early April.
Good on you, Vange. It's guys like you and your committee that keep these clubs thriving, and I applaud you and congratulate you on what you've done so far for East Q, and let's hope you have a great season in 2018.
Thanks very much, and all the very best with your work as well.
Good on you, mate. That's Vange Syrianos, the president of the East Q Football Club. We've got Club Corner every day here on FNR Football Nation Radio during Calcio Cafe. So if you're part of a club out there and you want to showcase your club to Australia or the world, because we broadcast all around the world, just get in contact with us here at FNR. That's station at footballnationradio.com.au. That's station at football. nationradio.com.au. Next up after the break, we're going to speak to Warren Diego about the EPL results on the weekend. Don't forget, we've also got Louise Taffer coming up very, very soon in Taffer Time, the W League review for the weekend here on Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego.
FNR, Football Nation Radio. Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Live across Australia, this is FNR Football Nation Radio, Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego. And of course, you can join in the conversation anytime on our live shows today. And for those people who want to join in the conversation on our talkback line, today we're giving away to our best caller or SMSer a traditional premium pack Panettone from our great friends there at Ital. Just give us a call on 9944 9999 9944 9999. 03 in front of that if you're outside Victoria, plus 613 if you're overseas. SMS us on 0428 933 345, 0428 933 345. One man who loves his Panettone, I know, you can just see how much he loves them by the way he looks. It is Warren Diego with his EPL wrap this morning. Good morning there, Warren.
Yeah, thanks, Carlos. Just been out on a run, so I could have just by having a Panettone today. That's why you exercise, isn't it? So
absolutely.
You can eat more at Christmas time. So.
Yeah, my problem is I don't go for a run, Warren, but I still have my Panettone. But it was a big weekend of EPL football. And, of course, the game that stood out, obviously, was the Arsenal-Manchester United game. On the scoreboard, looked very, very comfortable for Man U away from home, 3-1. They'd take that any day of the week. But it was pretty much a cracking game.
73% possession to Arsenal, 33 shots. And they lost 3-1, Carlos. It just probably shows you a little bit about Arsenal. They made two defensive errors to go down early in the game and then really dominated. And as has been described, if it wasn't for David De Gea in goal, it would have been a far different result. And I was reading comments about his performance before I actually watched it. And some of the saves that he made when Arsenal were really coming at Manchester United were quite out of this world. I think he's definitely probably one of the best goalkeepers in the world. And in the midst of Manchester United going forward, they must keep him despite interest from Spain. I think he's really in a very similar situation to Phil Coutinho in terms of the interest that the Spanish clubs are showing him. So it was a deceptively... It was a deceptive win by Manchester United. Typical Arsenal in many ways, but Manchester United did what they needed to do in terms of trying to keep the pressure on. And they've been pretty good recently, and they go into the Manchester Derby next week. And the history and the significance around that game is obvious, looking at the season, but also looking at the records that Man City could break.
If you want to call yourself a big club, a club that can maybe win things, you want to win quite handsomely away from home, and you want your big players to score. And of course, I'm leading to your very much your beloved Liverpool. 5-1 away winners at Brighton. I was just watching some of this game, and Matty Ryan in goal, he just couldn't take a trick on the weekend. None of the goals, I believe, were his fault, but his defence in front of him just could not cope with the blistering counter-attack that Liverpool have these days, with Mo Salah leading the way.
No, it was quite incredible. I think Phil Coutinho, who hadn't played midweek, got back into that team. And even though Liverpool have been scoring goals when he hasn't been playing, as testified by their midweek result against Stoke, when he comes back and he plays the way he did, Liverpool's counter-attacking, in a lot of ways, Brighton had probably the best chance of the game. And within 30 seconds of that, Liverpool, through a series of passes from Salah to Firmino, who got back into goal-scoring mode, and then Coutinho. They are quite amazing going forward, Liverpool. And despite some obvious games where the defence has been lacking, and I suppose we talk about the last Champions League game against Sevilla, they've only conceded two goals away from home, and they're starting to be a little bit better at home. I hate to self-promote, but Chris Houghton, the Brighton manager, came out and said that Liverpool, attacking-wise, are as good as Man City. And in terms of stats, Carlos, shots on goal and actual goals, they are the second most potent team in the competition. I don't think there are any chance of winning the title, but I think they're a very good chance of maintaining a top-four position if Coutinho, I think, stays during the January transfer window, which is a big question.
Well, the other one is Emre Can, who's a fantastic player for Liverpool. I mean, he's had his head turned over the off-season, I believe, so he might be thinking of going somewhere else. And the way Firmino's playing at the moment, he's no guarantee to want to hang around either. So, unfortunately, you've got these guys who are improving. I mean, Sanchez improved out of sight when he was... Luis Suarez, when he was at Liverpool, I thought he improved out of sight as a footballer and went on to be one of the best players in the world. And Coutinho, I think, is nurturing himself very, very well at Liverpool. Firmino also, Chan. These players here can be picked up by big clubs. And the big task for Liverpool is to try and keep a hold of them.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think that Liverpool are a big club. You keep telling me that they're not, Carlos, but I think you're right. I think there's talk that Emre Can has already perhaps come to personal terms with Juventus for a move there. Of course, his contract expires at the end of this season. So it will be interesting to see what happens. But I suppose all that Liverpool can do and all that Jurgen Klopp can do is keep being as competitive they can in all competitions, and it will play out. There's already talk that supposedly Liverpool have set a price of about $140 million for Phil Coutinho if Barcelona are prepared to match that. So we'll see what happens.
They always want basement prices, Barcelona. They won't pay top dollar. They just get the player to agitate for a move.
Yes,
and
that's true.
They do the work for them. But Chelsea, very, very comfortable 3-1 winners over Newcastle after going one goal behind. But Eden Hazard must be the best player in the English Premier League at the moment, I reckon. He scored twice, one a penalty. Panenka just absolutely embarrassed the goalkeeper with that penalty. And Morata is scoring quite regularly for him again. Again, it's funny, a team that are the reigning champions almost going under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, no, they've certainly improved recently on the back of Eden Hazard. I think if you put De Bruyne, Hazard, Silva and Coutinho, probably the four players, I suppose Mo Salah goes into that as well. But the resurgence of Chelsea in terms of their performances has certainly been on the back of Eden Hazard. And if we go back 12 months, Carlos, he was really not single-handedly, because Costa was scoring a hell of a lot of goals as well, but he was probably the person that really drove Chelsea to their title, and he's doing a similar thing this year. It's just that every team in the competition is waiting for Man City to lose, and they're not losing. So Hazard probably gave England a bit of a window into what they're not looking forward to during the World Cup when they play Belgium, Carlos.
And, of course, Man City, again, showing their quality. It's before Christmas, it's before the snoods and the gloves, but they've got a late one against West Ham to get the 3 points there again.
Yeah, De Bruyne to Silva scores the goal, Carlos, late in the game to get them over the line again. That's twice in a week now. I know you'll keep questioning this. That's twice in a week that they've come from behind. And as much as it might be cold, they're starting to rack up the games and they're still doing what they need to do. They seem to have a great spirit under Pep Guardiola and a real determination. And Carlos, as they go into the derby weekend where they play Manchester United at home, they go with the opportunity of breaking the EPL record of 14 games unbeaten, 14 game straight victory that Arsenal set in 2002. It's a real marker for me. I think they probably, as much as Pep Guardiola says, they wouldn't be looking at such a thing. I think, you know, they're looking for records this season. I genuinely believe that. And to go into this game with the opportunity to break the Premier League records for the most consecutive number of wins is quite significant, I think.
And Everton under Sam Allardyce, he's got the Midas touch, that guy, hasn't he? 2-0 winners in his first game in charge of Everton. They're going to not only, you know, avoid relegation, they're going to go close to top four under Sammy, aren't they?
Well, Carlos, the power of Sam Allardyce, they actually won their first game in however long with him being in the director's box, box midweek. Yeah. So he didn't even have his hands on the team, and they won, and they had another win on the weekend. I think deceptive with regards to, you know, how they played. They go into a derby weekend against Liverpool as well at Anfield this weekend. So that'll be a test of Everton. But look, they go into it on the back of two wins on the bounce, and probably with the teams not performing around them, give themselves a chance if they go on a run during this Christmas time where they win perhaps, you know, every second game that they play, that they will quickly be out of that relegation zone.
And before I let you go, mates, of course, I got to get your opinion about our World Cup group. Socceroos have drawn France, Denmark and Peru. It's not quite the group of death, but mild trepidation?
No, I think it's really the group of hope, Carlos. I mean, the first thing I'd say is you look at the rankings and you go, my God, you know, how does this rankings work? Look, Denmark, every team in the group, Carlos, I'll put it this way, every team in the group except France had to qualify through the knockout phase to get through. So how can you tell me that it's a group of death in the terms of the fact that three teams there found the same path to get to the World Cup? I would say that you go in there understanding that you're going to be underdogs, but you go in there understanding that you're going to be, you know, a real opportunity. I think it's a similar opportunity to what Australia had when they last qualified through the group stages. I think the only thing that probably, you know, makes it a little bit difficult is the fact that you're playing the number one seeds in the group in the first game. If we had, say, Denmark in the first game, similar to when we played Japan in Kaiserslautern, I think it would allow you to build momentum off 3 points and then probably only need a point to get through. But I'm quite hopeful. The French, they only need Patrice Evra to be in the camp and refuse to get off the bus, Carlos, and we're some chance. And we do know the French are probably almost the most talented team going into the World Cup in terms of players. But we do know that they can self-destruct. They did it in South Africa. They did it when they were defending champions and they lost to Senegal. I give the Socceroos not an even money chance of getting through, but, you know, you're not going there thinking that it's going to be really difficult. And I think you'll go there thinking you can win two games. And if you win two games, you're going through to the next phase.
Well, it's our talking point tonight on the Diego's, Warren. Of course, you've got the EPL wrap with Francis Leach with the EPL show later on tonight. It's 7 o'clock Eastern here across Australia live with Warren Diego and Francis Leach. Thanks for joining us this morning, Warren.
Great to talk to you again, Carlos.
Good on you, mate. That's Warren Diego with his EPL wrap. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit of Taffer time with Louise Taffer. It's a W League review of the weekend.
FNR, Football Nation Radio. Culture Cafe. with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Yes, it's a radio revolution, streaming football 24-7, live across Australia. This is FNR Football Nation Radio. It is Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego. Don't forget, you can join in the conversation anytime on our live shows, right throughout the day, right throughout the week, right throughout the weeks, 52 weeks a year, of course, on our talkback line. And today on our show, we are giving away to our best caller and or SMSer a traditional premium pack Panettone from our great friend there at Ital. Just give us a call on our talkback line, 9944 9999 9999 9999, 03 in front of that if you're outside Victoria, plus 613 if you're overseas. Our SMS number is 0428 933 345. If you want to talk W League, this is the time to do it. It's a bit of Taffer time with Louise Taffer joining us on the line. Good morning to you, Louise.
Good morning, Carlos. I'm calling for that Panettone.
I think we're all looking for the Panettone. Head Warren, he's just gone for a run, a marathon, so he can have a Panettone. Louise, I know you love your Panettones too, and we're giving them away. A premium one is just for you. There you go. Now, of course, the W League was played on the weekend. Some really unbelievable scores and performances so far. We're not seeing a pattern yet about who's going to be really dominating, except for Perth, but only with Sam Kerr in it. But geez, there's some strong results and strong spread of results each week in this W League at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Carlos, as you just touched on, Perth Glory are well ahead, and there have been four clubs that have moved between second place. You've had like Brisbane Roar, Canberra United, the Newcastle Jets, and Melbourne City. However, as I said, Perth Glory have remained like first for all six rounds. So at the moment, they're the, you know, clear favourite.
Absolutely. But you still get Brisbane Roar, who have played five games and only lost one. So, I mean, they're not far away either. And again, equal points with Perth Glory. But obviously Perth Glory with Sam Kerr, their win on the weekend was against Western Sydney Wanderers, a very, very strong team this year, Western Sydney Wanderers, with a full pre-season under their belt. Only lost 1-0 to Perth, you know, with Sam scoring the 50th minute, you know, they're a different side and really, really hard to beat with her in that team, Perth Glory.
Yeah, I mean, the Wanderers, unfortunately, had a lot of chances and control in the middle third, but they just couldn't convert. I mean, they lacked that quality in front of goal, which Sam Kerr clearly doesn't lack. And I mean, we're seeing that usual tee up between her and Rachel Hill, who you love. you know, Hill played a through ball to Kerr, you know, and Kerr rounded the keeper and she just destroyed the net. And she's got the calmness of an assassin. Mm. And, I mean, the Wanderers, as Marlos Pieta said, one of the Wanderers players, she said it's beginning to look like the story of their season. You know, they're losing every time, only one goal, and they just can't score, and it's frustrating. So, I mean, it's not only us who are looking from the outside in, but you know, they're feeling it too. And I mean, they have moved down to eighth place on the ladder. So, I mean, as we've mentioned before, it's only a short season. Hopefully they can continue to get their game up and running and maybe convert a few more goals to take 3 points.
Of course, Sydney FC, after a poor start, have really regained a little bit of ascendancy in their in their performances so far this season. 2-0 winners over Melbourne Victory. A Melbourne Victory promised so much at the start of the season, just fallen away a little bit. But Princess Sabini scoring and Lisa Devana for Sydney.
Sydney FC, you're talking about. Sydney FC, I mean, it was fantastic for them. Sydney FC climbed three places to sixth after a convincing 2-0 win. Goals came to Princess Ibini and Lisa Devana. And by Lisa Devana standards, her goal was pretty normal. I mean, she just ran three quarters of the pitch and, you know, just got past everyone. But Princess Ibini's third-minute goal was the quickest scored by a Sydney FC player in a W League game since November 2015, and that was Lina Karmas, and she scored in like 1 minute 45. Mm. So a bit of history for her. And Ante Juric is obviously, you know, very happy that Sydney SC are finally not cellar dwellers. And I don't think anyone really expected them to stay at the bottom of the table, given that they have quite a lot of talented and experienced players in their side.
And, of course, the game that you had your focus on totally because it's your hometown club, Canberra United, they lost 1-0 at home to Brisbane Roar. Again, Tamika Butt, after scoring for the Matildas in the China series last week, scored in the 67th minute.
Yeah, and as you mentioned a little bit earlier, Brisbane Roar have jumped to second on the W League table, and they ended Canberra United's winning streak. Look, I mean, Brisbane Roar looked pretty fresh early after coming back from their bye. They started strong. You know, you've got Hayley Rasso, who's always causing problems down the wing for Canberra United, and she was putting in some great crosses. But Ellie Carpenter, she was playing in a new midfield role, and yeah, I hear she was playing very well there too. But yeah, Canberra United just went down in that game, 1-0, as you mentioned.
It's actually a bit spiteful, and I saw a few of the highlights, a bit spiteful and a bit aggressive, some of the play. If you're in any doubt at all how serious these girls are, just watch that replay of Canberra United and Brisbane Roar. Mm. Some of the tackles in there were as aggressive as you would get in any men's competition that you see around the world. Now, Melbourne City, one all draw with Adelaide United. They're sort of dropping a few points here, Melbourne City, a team that was expected to do a lot better than what they're doing at the moment.
Yes, and we heard from an unhappy Patrick Kisnorbo post-match. Melbourne, and I watched this game yesterday, Carlos. I was there at Lakeside Stadium, and they had to settle with a 1-1 draw. But, I mean, in the 89th minute, Kai Simon took a penalty, and it was saved by Sarah Willacy, and I mean, you don't get closer than that than bringing 3 points back to Bundoora. So, in my opinion, you're dealing with one of the tightest defence, though. Adelaide United, we know that they've got athletes like Jenna McCormick, who I might add that she was fantastic. I mean, she'll constantly win back possession, and it was like taking a Christmas present from a baby. Like, it just comes so naturally to her. Yeah. And then on the other side of her, you've got Emma Checker, and she's constantly scanning the opposition and bringing everyone in line, making sure that everyone's doing their job so they don't let little gaps and pockets open. But after that, you know, Kai Simon, we saw a lot more aggression from her, but they just couldn't get back. And, I mean, Patrick Kisnorbo post-match, yeah, he was quite upset. And he said that the only positive was that they were creating a lot of chances, but it felt like a loss because, you know, they couldn't capitalise.
Certainly big expectations there at Melbourne City. But, Louise, I know you'll cover that fully in the FNR news later on today at 4 o'clock Eastern with George Neekin here on FNR. And your panettone's waiting for you in the newsroom when you come in this morning.
Well, look, you can have some because I won't be able to
eat. I've already had some.
Oh.
It's brekkie. You always have a go at me for not having brekkie, but there you go. Thanks for joining us.
I can't complain.
Thanks for joining us, Louise. We'll speak to you again later on in the day.
Thanks, Carlos.
That's Louise Taffer. A bit of Taffer time there with the W League wrap. There'll be more of Louise and George Neekin later on in the FNR news at 4 p.m. Eastern here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Well, that brings Calcio Cafe to an end for today. You can podcast the show on iTunes and SoundCloud. So until this time tomorrow, may you have a great day in football.
Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.